This morning we read from Luke chapter 10, beginning with the 38th verse. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." We pray. These, dear Heavenly Father, your words, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. If you're like me, when I started off in college, you don't forget the first big F you get on an exam. You know, that one kind of forms a new core memory. And for me, it was like in my major. I started off first semester, I was majoring in engineering, took an engineering exam, checked it later, very thing I'm supposed to be good at again. I checked the grade online, and it said 59% F. Now, it's, again, it was a good F, but it's still F. Yeah, well, I was devastated, actually, at the time. You laugh now, but I was devastated. And, you know, you leave high school and you think, yeah, I'm going to be fine. I got this figured out. I know what I'm doing. And then that F comes along, and it's like, things rapidly change. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing here? I failed the thing I'm supposed to know. My friends in this class, I mean, it was like 100 people in there, but my friends in it, they seemed to get this. They were fine. They were happy with their grades. And so I was just worried. I was stressed. I lost sleep. It was terrible. But you know how math is. It's one of those things where a little thing, and then all of a sudden, you get points just flying away from you. So I figured, okay, well, when I get the test back, I'll look at it, see what went wrong. It got handed back at the engineering lab about a week later, so a week-long depression. And then I look at, finally, the teaching assistant hands me this exam back. And I look at the top, and it says 95A. So the teaching assistant typed in the numbers backwards. And the thing was, for me, it was too late for me at that point. I had rethought many life choices. And by the next semester, I had a totally different major. These weren't the funny parts. This is the serious. Yeah, I was... totally new major. And the thing is nothing in reality caused that to happen. I mean, that's the whole thing. No reality led to that. It was all not in reality, make-believe, not a real number, not a real grade. Through the power of pure worry alone, I rethought life choices. So worrying actually does something. And I think... really, as we approach this lesson, we see that pretty clearly, especially if we pay attention to the details. I mean, so think about it. Martha's helping out, okay? Jesus never confronts her about this, never is like, don't do that. She's doing her thing, and Jesus, from what we can tell, seems cool about it. What happens, though, is Martha brings up the issue. And she confronts Jesus, tell Mary to help me. Don't you care? But Jesus, on the other hand, doesn't really address the thing. She does not address the thing that Martha brought up and instead highlights worry as opposed to it. So we kind of get the impression that Martha, in her mind, was probably thinking, I'm doing all the work, I'm overworked, what's going on? Why isn't anyone helping? And Jesus sees that the underlying issue is really worry. The underlying issue is really worry. And I think that's a helpful example in this text, but something that I think we can all resonate with, that we have some things happening on a surface level, right? But then there's actually worry that's underneath. And actually simply acknowledging the fact that worrying might be underneath can be a helpful first step. But I think often we kind of, I don't know, we have ways to get around really looking in the face that we're dealing with worry. We can think, well, I'm planning, right? That old trick, oh, I'm planning. Yeah, I'm planning for 50 different scenarios of the worst thing that could go wrong and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to say when those things come up. And isn't that worry at that point, of course? It kind of touches at the issue, too, of like, do I have trust issues then with God? That I think the creator of the universe is so, you know, asleep at the proverbial wheel that I have to plan out for all of these contingency situations. And so I don't think, you know, God gives indication he likes getting treated like that. So one challenge with the worrying. I think another challenge with it is that we tend to think that worrying is an isolated thing, that it's something that I can deal with personally and on my own, and it only affects me. And so it can, we can easily go around thinking, yeah, I just got to deal with this and put up with this and so forth. In the lesson, though, worrying leads to Martha's concrete action to confront Jesus and Mary. So the worrying affects what she does. And I think when we think about our own worry, if we really, you know, look it in the face, we realize, yeah, worrying isn't something that I just bear with alone, but it's often something that is going to affect how I treat other people. Maybe I'm going to use other people or want them to, hey, you're here to help me do this or that thing. Maybe I'm going to complain against them. Maybe I'm going to be self-righteous. I'm doing all this stuff, and these other people are a bunch of lazy bones. So, yeah, I think the lesson is a helpful example that brings to the forefront, I think, these two big issues with worrying. The one that it's easy to not see the underlying issue behind the issue of worrying. And the second one here that we tend to think and give it a free pass because I think it's only a me thing, but really it affects so many other relationships in our lives. When Jesus, though, listens to Mary kind of confront him on these things, doesn't address that issue of helping. But he doesn't tell her off either. He starts off saying, Martha, Martha. You know, the doubling up of the name probably is trying to say, hey, I am listening to you and I'm trying to help you with this. He's there to relieve the worries, not to just pile it on. And I think that's such a comforting thing with the lesson. And Jesus then highlights, yeah, you're worried about many things, but one thing is needed. And so that, I think, is the helpful starting point in how we address and look at worry. What is the one thing needful? And it's something that is totally solid. It's something that whatever is going around us in this life is not going to have a bearing on that. Because this is God's word. This is the thing that God tells us everything about himself. And that stuff isn't going to just be changing and shifting on us. It's who God is. It's what he's done for us. That word, that one thing needful, is solid then. And it tells us, you know, especially the message of Jesus and how he came to relieve worries. And that is a big part of it. He's here in the text relieving this worry. You could read a lot of these miracle narratives as relieving worries. People come to him with problems and he helps out. He's there to relieve people's worries. But he's also there to relieve the big worry, the worry that is never an imaginary worry, the worry of death itself. It's not an unreasonable worry. Death is something that comes and happens. It's a real thing. But he came to relieve that worry too. And Jesus came and he did that by, first of all, living a perfect life in our place. And he relieved worries in those small ways, but he took on our sins, even our sins of worrying, on the cross to pay for them, take them away. And then rising again from the dead, showing us his victory over death itself. That we don't need to have that be a worry, because that's the solid thing. That's a solid thing that he's taken care of for us, and he's given us heaven itself. He's even worked faith in our hearts to receive all these things. And so when we look at the Bible, it can be easy at first glance to think, does this really say a lot about the worries I might have in life? Actually, it does. So much of it is about Jesus relieving worries and whatever they might be in people's lives, and even the big, big worries, even of death itself. And I think that's helpful moving forward. But one challenge, of course, is that our worries are so particular and individual, aren't they? I can't just be up here and be like, oh, one little sermon and I've solved all worry. Because our worry is not just like an abstract entity. It's we have specific worries about very specific things that are going on in your life and my life right now. And it presents challenge of how do I apply God's word to that situation? How do I work through these very particular situations? And then on the one hand, the lesson shows the starting point in the one thing needful of think about how can God address my specific problems? What might it say I should do? How should I think about things? I think we are, as we have a community of fellow Christians in church. We have friends we can talk to and help us work through these things. We have parents. We have things like counseling that can help in situations too. So there are numerous healthy ways we have in our life to deal with worries. And I think another thing is if we listen to other people and their worries, you know, they people will tell you their worries. They will tell you their worries just like Martha told Jesus her worries. She didn't say, I'm worried, Jesus, but she said other things, and Jesus saw that worry was the underlying issue. People tell us about their worries. We can listen. We can help them work through that worrying, listening carefully. And I think helping other people work through their worry with the help of God's word helps us then as we think about our own worries in life and how to deal with them in a helpful way. So, yeah, you know, in the end, I would not recommend doing as I did when I was first-year student in college. I would not get an F and then work yourself into this terrible week-long existential funk in worry and then make crucial life choices as you are most worried. I would not do that. I would find healthier options to work through those things. But in the lesson, we've seen that, well, you know, God cares about the worry. He has come to relieve those worries. And yeah, even though they can have a negative impact, he's there to relieve those things. And he's relieved us of the big worry of death itself. We know we can take care of our worries every other step of the way. And in the meantime, I hope we can listen to other people and their worries and help them work through that too, just as Jesus is there for Martha. Amen. Dear Jesus, relieve us of our worries with your word. Support us in that word through the Christians you've placed in our lives, and give us opportunity to help others work through their worries too in a way that pleases you. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.